Been there, done that? It's time for a change.
Hi, I'm Rob Spear.
And I'm Brenda Michaels, and we're the hosts of Conscious Talk, radio that makes a difference.
If you're ready to engage life, expand consciousness, and ride the wave rather than be bowled over by the incredible changes that are upon us, then join us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. on KKNW 1150 a.m. or 98.9 HD3 or ConsciousTalk.net, where together we'll forge the new human being.
Hi, this is Julie Forbes. Join me on Wednesday afternoons from 2 to 3 p.m. for the Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. Listen to discussions on dog-related topics and call in to voice your opinion or ask my opinion about your dog. We will talk about everything from dog behavior to pet food to dog training programs in prisons. The Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. Tune in Wednesdays from 2 to 3 p.m. on Alternative Talk 1150.
Call into Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis Wednesdays at 12 noon Pacific and 3 p.m. Eastern Time for your free on-air readings. Robin uses her ability as a karma specialist, medical intuitive, and metaphysical healer to assist you in removing blockages so you can experience life more fully. She's a medium who can talk to your spirit guides and angels. And check out Robin's Soul Spa at robinalexis.com.
When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red, live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue, now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the third hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again, and that will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. Now, there are several ways of getting a hold of us while we are on the air here. Now, for today, if I am not making myself clear, if you have questions about communicating with animals or the human-to-animal transference, the best thing to do today is to send us an email to our live email address. Now, we get these only when we're on the air. AnimalWorldLive@Hotmail.com. AnimalWorldLive@Hotmail.com. I'm going to give you phone numbers just so you can jot them down so you have them handy when it's appropriate on a show to call in. We are not taking phone calls and questions today. However, we are going to pick up with this topic on the first Sunday of February. So next week we're doing Shelter Rescue Sanctuary. Then on Martha's Behavior Training and Healing Sunday, that will be the first Sunday in February, we'll pick up where we left off. And I've already decided that I'm going to take you so far through the communicating with animals here, and then we'll go into the human-to-animal transference and cover that. Then we'll cover the other part of communicating with animals after you've had a couple of weeks to fool with communicating to your animals. We'll get to receiving on the first Sunday of February, and that is when I will take your phone calls to help you apply all of this to you and your animal friends' situations, or to answer your questions about how to do it and all of that good stuff, or understanding it, all that sort of thing. Hopefully that makes sense to you. But jot these phone numbers down when you need them in the future. Local number is 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. And toll free is 888-298-KKNW, which is 888-298-5569. And again, that live email address is animalworldlive at hotmail.com. If you got questions today, get them in as soon as possible so I have time to address them before we're done. Now, if you are submitting a current events item, please do so via email. You can do that by going to the Animal World website, marthanorwalk.com, and click on Contact Martha, or address your own email program to Martha Light, L-I-G-H-T, at AOL.com. But if you need to mail something to Animal World, the Animal World mailing address is, and by the way, if you sent me something, I have not been able to get to my post office box all week, so, and they were closed yesterday when I finally got to town. So, but the mailing address for Animal World is 19916 Old Owen Road, 19916 Old Owen Road, number 251, and that's in Monroe, 98272. Okay, then. So, getting back to communicating with animals, we talked about, you know, four levels of communicating going on when you're with your animals: physical body language, vocal tonalities and vocabulary, pictures in your mind, feeling what you're feeling. We talked about energy fields. Now I'm going to take you through exactly how to communicate to your animals. Now, remember, it's dirt simple. Anyone can do this. And the bottom line is, it happens whether you believe it or understand it or not. Okay? So you're doing it whether you think you can or not. Now, the way that you talk to your animals, I suggest you talk to them out loud in English. Now, you don't have to use your voice, because I already explained to you how you do it telepathically long distance. And you're obviously not using your voice then. But when you're with them, I suggest you use your voice and talk out loud. That's not because I necessarily expect them to understand the language. Some animals are better at that than others. But it does let them know that you are trying to communicate, and it helps you focus your mind on what you're saying. Now, remember, the important thing is you must focus your mind on what you are saying at the time. You can't be busy in your left brain thinking of what you're going to say next. You must focus on your mind on what you're actually saying, and then you imagine it in your mind. I'm going to repeat, you do not have to be a great creative visualizer to communicate this way, but you do need to focus your mind on what you're saying at the time. Now, there's only one major glitch with this communication. Mike, this is important. The telepathic communication comes in through your right brain. The right brain does not accept negatives. Therefore, don't and no statements do not transfer visually. Don't and no statements do not transfer visually. So if you say something to your cat, don't pee on the floor. Don't scratch the furniture. You say to your dog, don't bark at the neighbor. Don't chew up the house. Don't run away. Don't be afraid. Whatever, any and all of those statements in the picture the animal gets, there is no don't. They get pee on the floor, scratch the furniture, bark at the neighbor, be afraid. So, it is important to phrase your statements, your communication to the animal describing what you want as opposed to what you don't want. Kitty, if you feel like you have to go, get in the cat box, pee in the cat box, poop in the cat box. Okay, or go outside, whatever, you know, for the dog. Be quiet. Ignore the neighbor. Stay off when people come into the house. Keep your feet on the floor. Okay, chew on your bone. Chew on your ball. Okay, you describe what you want as opposed to what you don't want. Now, a classic example of this are inappropriate reprimands we use with dogs. Because often our animal friends get confused. Because how often are we saying something we don't and thinking something different? For example, the inappropriate reprimands. We say to dogs, no barking, no jumping, no chewing. Well, the no combined with a guttural tone of voice is supposed to indicate to them that what they're doing is wrong. And that part, the tone works. But in the picture they get, there is no no. So they get barking, jumping, chewing. And it's a mixed message. So what happens with a lot of dogs is in the course of living with humans, they get so confused, they start tuning you out. They don't listen because it didn't make sense. So reprimands I suggest you use as opposed to instead of those that I just told you about, instead of no jumping, no off. But off in your mind needs to be feet on the floor. Instead of no barking, say no, be quiet. The point is, no tells them what you're doing now is wrong. This is what you're supposed to do. Instead of no chewing, no, leave it. Or no, stop it. They're in the kitchen. No, get out of the kitchen. No, get off the couch. Now, then you always praise with the word good combined with a word or the phrase you want them to associate with that behavior. Good off. That's a good off. Good off. Good quiet. Good be quiet. Good leave it. That's a good leave it. Good out of the kitchen. Good stay in the kitchen. Good off the couch. Okay? That helps them learn the vocabulary faster. Okay. Now, like I said, many dogs get confused and tune you out. Like, how many times? This is, I've got two examples here. A dog runs out the front door and takes off down the block. You go outside and you say what you're supposed to. Bozo, come here, come here. But in your mind, you're thinking, oh, crap, the dog is running all over the neighborhood. He's not listening. He's not going to pay attention. I'm going to have to get the car to catch the dog. I'm going to be late to work, yada, yada, yada. Well, in your mind, that's what the dog is getting visually, and you're chasing the dog away. When you're calling the dog, Bozo, come here, come here. You need to see him coming, and there being a major celebration and big food reward when he gets back. Now, how many times are you house training a puppy? You go outside to get the puppy to go, and you should have a potty word, like go potty or hurry up, do your business. Visualize what you want. My favorite one, and I did this with Annie Golden because one of my clients taught it to their dog, and I loved it. Her urination command was squat your butt. Squat your butt, and then poop your puppy. We had two. We had squat your butt, poop your puppy. I loved them. But maybe you're not that comfortable with that descriptive a word. But you can use hurry up, but you've got to visualize what it means. So when you're outside saying, Bozo, hurry up, go potty, hurry up, go potty, how many times have you done that and been thinking in your mind, oh, geez, the puppy's never going to go. It's totally distracted. It's going to be out here. I'm going to be out here forever. Puppy's never going to go. It's going to pee as soon as I get back in the house. They're going to poop as soon as I get back in the house. Sure enough, what does the puppy do? Doesn't go outside, gets back in the house, goes right away in the house. So when you're saying go potty, hurry up, outside, do your business, in your mind imagining them squatting or pooping or whatever, and then as soon as they start to go, good, good, go potty, good, hurry up. Praise them on the spot. Do not give a reward for going when you get back in the house for going to the bathroom outside. They'll associate it with coming back in. I have actually had to do serious sessions with people in home because they taught their dog not to go outside. They put the dog outside, it would go outside, run around the yard, and run right back in to get its treat. But it wouldn't go because it thought it was being rewarded for coming back in. And then it can be a real trip to you know, or a lot of work to teach them to actually go outside. So make sure that you are not confusing your dogs. Now, when it comes to the difference between dogs and cats, remember the rules are dogs rule, cats. Cats rule, dogs drool. Dogs have masters, cats have staff. Cats are really actually easier to deal with dogs than in the communication department. Because with cats, pretty much all you have to do is acknowledge the fact that they are intelligent communicators and start speaking to them clearly. Negotiating if you have to. Cats get it and listen right away. Dogs, on the other hand, might be great communicators and they might get the communication. But because of their pack nature, there needs to be a leader of the pack and a pecking order underneath the leader. If they don't see you as the leader, then your communication is likely to go in one ear and out the other, and they're just blowing you off. So dogs, the first step is always you must establish your leadership and show them your power. And then they will listen to the communication. And even though you can communicate on these levels, I still recommend you do obedience training and that sort of thing with young dogs, and then work into them understanding the telepathic and empathetic communication. And if your relationships work like mine have with my dogs, by the time they get old, you know, they grow up, then you don't have to use the training anymore. They know all that stuff, and you just simply need to talk to them and explain. It works fabulous. Now, that is the basics in, so you can explain things to your animals like I, because of the snowy weather this week, my little Buzzy kitten, who's doing fabulous, by the way, he'll be 13 weeks old on tomorrow. And he's been doing great, but he was being confined at night and when I leave the house. But with all the snow, I was home all week. So he's not been being confined all week. He's earned his stay out at night privileges and all that kind of stuff. And he's been doing really great with that. Well, it's too cold today. I was not comfortable leaving him loose in the house just in case he figured out how to follow one of the other cats through the cat door, got out to the cat run, and then couldn't figure out how to get back in, and it's too cold for him to be out there. So I shut him up in the cat room today before I left. But I didn't just throw him in there and leave. I explained to him that I was leaving to go do the radio show and I would be gone for a long period of time. I needed to know he was inside warm and safe and that he would be inside the cat room until I got home and then I'd let him out and we'd be back to, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da. So I explained it all to him. This especially is important for household destructive models in the dog department and so forth. Always explain to them where you're going, what you're going to be doing, and when you're coming back, what you expect from them when you're gone. And remember, don't and no statements do not transfer visually. So rest, guard the house, chew on your bone, hold it, go in your box, scratch on your post, whatever it is. Give them their instructions and their marching orders, and then if the plan changes and the schedule changes when you're gone, send them a mental postcard to let them know what's going on. All right. You got all that, Mike?
I got most of it. It's good stuff. Very interesting.
You don't have animals, though, do you?
I have animal friends. I do not have animals that live with me, but I have befriended two neighborhood cats who probably spend more time at my place than they do with their...
So if you've got cats, you can just start talking to them.
I always have.
Yeah, cool.
Yep. And the neighbor dog is also a good friend, but I don't see her as much as the cats. The cats come over, they like the music that I play, and they're very social, so they get lonely when their human counterparts are gone for the day, so they wander over in the morning and usually hang out all day.
All right. Now, I've decided here in an effort to get the majority of the material that I wanted to cover today, I want to be able to go into some detail with the human-to-animal transference. We're going to leave it there with the communication. Now, I know. The thing that everybody wants to know is, how do I hear from the animal? I know that's the biggest thing. Now, it is as simple as communicating to the animals. But unless you are naturally gifted and can automatically do it, then it usually requires some homework and some practice and dealing with certain things. And I'll give you a hint. If you cannot still your mind, you're in trouble if you want to receive. So you have to be working on that. At any rate, it takes some practice and can be some work to do it. But like I said earlier, when it comes to living with animals, domestic animals, and resolving issues, the big thing is that you communicate clearly to them. They all want to be good. They don't want to be bad. It's just that most of them don't know that. And negative attention can be just as rewarding as positive, particularly if it's the majority of what you get, and it's always better than nothing. So communicating to them properly is really important. Now, so what we're going to do here, we're going to leave it with that, and I'm going to give you 2 weeks to communicate properly to your animal friends and practice with this stuff. And if you don't have animal friends of your own, but you got neighbors and animal friends that live around you like Mike does, talk to them. And I want you to practice this, get good at it, see what you understand, what you don't understand, and then start jotting down your questions. Okay. Now, then when we get to the first Sunday, it's not next Sunday because that's Shelter Rescue Sanctuary Sunday, the first Sunday of February, then it's Behavior Training and Healing Sunday with Martha. I want you to call me with your questions about it. I can also help you how to apply all of this with your animal friends if you've got problems and stuff. But I will then give you the second part of communication on the first Sunday, and that is how to receive information from animals. That sound fair to you?
Works for me.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm all ears.
Okay.
Tell me more. Show us more.
So the first Sunday of February, we will cover how to receive information from animals. And I will take your phone calls related to behavior training and healing issues and all that kind of stuff and all that good things. Now, we're going to go into the human-to-animal transference. And, Franny, thank you for your email. Just got it, but I won't have time to read it until we take care of advertisers and sponsors at the bottom of the hour. I will do that then. Because I can't read and talk at the same time. Read, talk, and think. It's too much for me.
We want to focus. This is a focused discussion.
This is a focused discussion.
Yeah, so we want you on point.
Okay, we are moving on now to the human-to-animal transference. Now, and I was going to tell you that, you know, with My Cat from Hell and Jason Galaxy, the feline behaviorist that I'm so love, on Animal Planet on Saturday nights, 8 o'clock, they are in new shows now. And last night's show was fabulous. And it was the first show he went into enough detail and work. He worked with two different couples that were fighting with each other and had cats attacking them or the dog and that kind of stuff. And he did make reference I would have laid it out real specifically with communication, with the human to animal transference. He does it more subtly, but it's very obvious that he's aware of both. But when one woman's fear was influencing the cat's behavior and biting her because she was approaching the cat hesitantly and in fear and imagining the cat attacking her, instead of talking in communication, he changed her feeling and how she approached and what she was thinking as she was approaching. And it made all the difference. And then in either one or both of the, I think it was the second case when the couple was fighting, he made reference to the fact that with the couple fighting so much, it's no wonder that their animals were fighting and attacking each other. They had to be picking up on the energy. So I was just delighted to see that he is aware of these things and is now speaking to them. So if you didn't see the show, watch it, and you'll see the connection with the communication and with the human-to-animal transference. All right, so here's what the human-to-animal transference is all about. When it comes to our animal friends and them having problems, and this can be emotional, behavioral, or physical health problems, it isn't just the animals. Emotionally, intuitively, they are very sensitive, and they pick up, process, and reflect back our belief systems, our behavior, our characteristics, and most especially our suppressed negative emotional energy. They pick up, process, and reflect back our belief systems, our behaviors, our characteristics, and most especially our suppressed negative emotional energy. Now, it is a fascinating subject, and like I said, it's usually a three-hour seminar, but I'll get to the basics and as much of it as I can before we're done today. But typically, like attracts like. So you will generally attract to you or be attracted to animals that are of similar nature and personality. Because remember I told you, you know, the flow of energy is from human to animal. They pick up and process our stuff. Now, that doesn't mean you can't pick up and be aware of their stuff, because it does go back and forth. But they are the mirror reflectors for us. And that way they can be better teachers. And generally speaking, if there's something going on with your animal friend and you don't like it, you want to fix it or change it, and you have an emotional reaction to it, you probably have the same issue. For example, somebody calls me up and says, Martha, my dog is stubborn as a brick. It's like talking to a refrigerator. I got to hit him over the head to get him to listen to me. And I can hear that emotional charge in the voice, Mike. I know that that person has a stubborn streak and can be stubborn as a brick. And you got to hit him over the head with a baseball bat to get him to listen.
Dual personalities.
Well, the animal is just reflecting yep. back what's going on with the human. Now, the interest, and it can be fear. This is now, and generally speaking, so there's so much to this concept. Generally speaking, cats represent female energy, and I don't mean man woman. I mean male female energy, and we're all male female energy. With women, the ideal balance is 51% female, 49% male. With guys, it's 51% male, 49% female. But most of us are not in balance, and we're way, way whacked on one side or the other. But generally speaking, cats are female energy. Generally speaking, dogs are male energy and representative of that. But there are certain breeds of dogs, certain individuals that are more female than male. So there are no absolutes. These are generalities. But, for example, I often get problems presented to me, owners, either male or female, men or women, about their cats. And they're very upset about their cat that is timid or shy and not social and hides and all of that. Well, to disappear when people come over, not be social, be timid and shy, is not really unusual behavior for cats. Not all cats are gregarious, and probably more of them are more move away from strangers than not. Unless they're in Abyssinian suits. But that's not that unusual. And a lot of people, it doesn't bother. But when it bothers you, and someone is really upset and has to change it or fix it about their cat, what that tells me is that person's female energy, whether they're a man or a woman, is suppressed, afraid, and hiding. So I have to help them bring that back into balance. And then, because the neat thing is about this mirror business is that when one side of the mirror changes, the other side of the mirror has to change or leave. And when it comes to our animal friends and behavior or health or all that kind of stuff, that it generally, they change. So you want your animals to change if you have an emotional reaction to it. Now, I'm talking about the bad stuff, the negative stuff. Okay, but you get to take credit for the good stuff. If your animal does something wonderful and sweet and considerate and it warms your heart and it makes you feel really good, then know that you have that same quality within you. But nobody calls me about wanting to make their animals are so well behaved and wonderful. It's all because we got to solve the problem. So we concentrate on the problem stuff. Now, remember, you like attracts like. You typically attract to yourself animals that will be good mirrors and reflectors for you. Now, people argue with me at this stage at sometimes. In lectures and seminars saying, well, you know, I didn't cause this in my dog because it showed up on my doorstep and already had all these problems. So it wasn't me. Or I adopted at the shelter and already had all these problems. Wasn't me. Well, my response to that is, well, why do you think it showed up on your doorstep? Why were you attracted to it and brought it home from the shelter in the first place? It's because you do have that stuff. You didn't give it or cause it in that animal, but you attracted or were attracted to that animal.
Bless you.
Excuse me. Well, that wasn't a sneeze. That was a cough. I'm talking a lot today. Of course, you kind of do that on the radio. Anyway, I'm looking at the clock. It is time for us to take care of our advertisers and sponsors. Let's take care of that. And the most important part of the show, without them, there's no us. So pay attention and listen and support them. I will read Franny's email in case there's something I need to get into the next half hour. And then as we continue, we'll get right back into the human-to-animal transference part. And, oh, the best part is yet to come. So stay with me. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, since 1978, Puget Sound area animal owners have been able to depend on Jones & Company Pets for all of their animal care needs. At Jones & Company, their spacious store allows room for everything you need for your animal companions. You can find foods, accessories, fish supplies, supplements, cleaning products, and a whole lot more. The store within a store concept makes it easy to find the right products for your dog, cat, fish, bird, or exotic animal friend, and Jones & Company rigorously trains their staff so they can easily answer all of your questions. Visit Jones & Company. You'll find them on State Avenue in Marysville, or give them a call at 360-658-7817. At Jones & Company Pets, their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy and healthy pets.
Shift your morning into overdrive with Gary Mance and Suzanne Mitchell on Alternative Talk 1150.
Caffeinate your consciousness 6 a.m. weekdays with hot talk and great guests as you get your day underway with Mance and Mitchell, the most unusual radio show in Western Washington.
Presets adore us, snooze buttons fear us. On Monday's show, numerologist Ed Peterson breaks it down for us, the economy, the election, the whole nine yards of 2012.
This new year, give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, a strong immune system, and a healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Go to NuProSupplements.com for more information. That's NuProSupplements.com. Massage is good for everyone, including your pets. Learn animal massage and check out the Northwest School of Animal Massage's exciting new Vashon Island location. The Northwest School of Animal Massage offers a full schedule of classes, including massage for canines, small and large animal certification, and the exciting new manual ligament therapy series. Go to NWSAM.com for registration details and to enroll online. For more information, call 877-836-3703. Locally, call 206-463-1425. That's 206-463-1425. Or check them out on Facebook.
Robin Alexis is offering a limited number of beautiful Golden Healer Lemurian crystals. These crystals are used by healers for their ability to magnify the flow of vital life force throughout the body, to promote healing, to reduce fear and anxiety, to induce a state of deep relaxation, and accelerate tissue healing. These crystals are also powerfully energized to activate the crown and solar plexus chakras, which assist you to obtain a more conscious connection to spirit. Golden Healer Lemurian crystals are a marvelous tool for doing any kind of energy work, meditation, or healing. In addition, these special crystals have been blessed by Robin Alexis at sacred sites at Mount Shasta. You can purchase these crystals for $22.95 from Mystic Store at robinalexis.com. Or email Bob at robinalexis.com for details. There is only a limited supply of these Lemurian crystals, so they're offered at a first-come, first-served basis.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior, training, or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Stay informed with news, traffic, and weather at the top of the hour, weekdays on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey y'all, Martha Norwalk, and thank you for spending your Sunday morning with me here on Animal World. Hope you'll do it every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Okay, now we're just getting going in the human-to-animal transference stuff, but because of Franny's email, we're going to go back to communications for a moment because this is real appropriate. She said, Martha, I just realized 2 weeks ago that your animal communication tips have been working for me for quite some time. 2 years ago, I started feeding the birds in my backyard. I estimate 30 to 50 birds showed up every morning to eat, mostly cardinals, mourning dove, blue jays, and sparrows. I think Franny's down in South Carolina area, somewhere around there. Of course, along with the birds came the bird drippings. Every day I had to deal with a lot of bird poop on my backyard deck. About six months ago, I took some of your advice and started talking to the birds. I explained to them that I loved them and loved having them in my backyard and on my deck. I went on to say how I would appreciate if they would poop away from my deck, far away on the grass. I also asked for help from the overlighting divas of my property and birds. 2 weeks ago, I realized there was no more bird poop on my deck. Yes, there is an occasional bird dripping here and there, but nothing like before, and there are still 30 to 50 birds that come to my backyard every morning. Thank you for my clean deck, Martha. And that's from Franny. Woohoo! Thank you, Franny. Reminds me, my cousin called me years ago when I was doing the show on another station, and she lived on waterfront on Lake Washington, the dock. And, you know, Mike, we have a problem in this area, summertime, with Canadian geese.
We sure do.
And they like to do docks and people's yards and poop all over the
parks,
place. And goose, loose as a goose has not been coined for no good reason, and they poop everywhere. So I lived with one, Myra Goldstein Labah. She was a Jewish goose. That's another story. Anyway, they do. And so my cousin called me up, said, what do? I explained the telepathic communication, told her to talk to the geese and ask them to stay off her grass and off the deck and to hold their poops when they were there. And for the rest of their time at that property, she said it absolutely worked like a charm. And she said their neighbors would come by and say, how come you're the only one on the waterfront here? You have no goose poop on your deck, on your grass. What is the deal? And it worked for her for years. So there you go. Works real well. All right. Now, so back to the human-to-animal transference. Again, you attract to yourself what you need to learn and grow from. Life like attracts like, so whatever's going. So, you know, whatever behavior or physical issues going on with your animal that may be going on with you and vice versa. And it kind of works like there's the surface level, which I consider the practical, logical. I'm seeing this as a straight line. The practical, logical surface, why animals do what they do. Well, I don't use the litter box because it's dirty, it isn't convenient or safe. I bark at the neighbor because I feel he's a threat and invading my territory, that kind of thing. But then there is the root system that underlies it all and attracts or creates the energy on the surface that gets the animals to do what they're doing. And the root system is what's going on with the human on an emotional, behavioral, belief system level. And our animals tend to express what we stuff and suppress. Now, when I have more time, and maybe on the next show, I'll explain to you that wildlife tend to reflect what's going on with the mass consciousness around them. Domestic animals tend to reflect what's going on with the humans that they live with, usually the one that owns them or is most emotionally bonded to them, but there are exceptions to that. The way to know if what the animal is doing is connected to you, your belief systems, your behavior, your suppressed emotional energy, is that if you see the behavior or the evidence of the behavior, do you have an emotional reaction to it? If you do, it's connected to you. Because you can have an animal do something in front of two people, and one person might get really mad about it, really upset about it, or want to fix it or change it. The other person might have no reaction at all. Okay? So it's, do you have an emotional reaction to it? And when you have an emotional reaction to what the animal is doing or has done, that is generally the emotion that's stuffed and suppressed. So let me talk to you a little bit about the generalities. Because there's, you know, only so many things that animals can do. And there's only so many emotional energies that they can be expressing for us. You know, anger, fear, grief, you know, a guilt, and like I said, just but anger, fear, and grief are the three major emotions that they express. Now, for example, if you have an animal that you have problems controlling their bowel movements, inappropriate bowel movements, pooping in the house, or pooping outside of the cat box, inappropriate bowel movements relates to grief, sadness, disappointment, and often abandonment issues. Inappropriate urination, on the other hand, relates to anger. Now, diarrhea, on the other hand, is fear. So, if your animal, you know, has diarrhea, look at what are you afraid of? What is your animal afraid of? And sometimes it's going on the surface, but it's also going on in the root system. Sometimes it's only going on in the root system, and they're just processing it for you on the surface. So, and remember, animals express what we stuff and suppress. So usually what comes out in your animal's behavior is emotional energy that you're stuffing and suppressing. So, diarrhea is fear, inappropriate bowel movements, grief, sadness, disappointment, often abandonment issues. Now, examples of that might be, I've worked with a number of cases where we've got maybe an older couple had a dog. One, let's say, husband dies. Wife is apparent, seems to be all right, but the dog starts pooping in the house. Never did this before. What's going on? Well, the dog is expressing the suppressed grief, sadness, disappointment, and abandonment issues going on for the widow. And so you don't need to help the dog. And this often happens. I often get called about, you know, so-and-so lost their husband. Now their dog is really depressed and sad. How do we help the dog? I have to explain to him. It's not the dog that needs help. It's the human. Help the human. You'll know when you've helped because the dog will get better. Does that make sense, Mike? Yeah, you can just nod. Okay. But it's very, very common. Had a lady that I went to go counsel because her husband had died and the dog was pooping underneath the dining room table. Well, after the husband died, and she couldn't figure out what was going on. Well, it turned out that she didn't use her dining room table the way that most people do. It was her office, and she worked there. It was the place she spent most of her time. And, of course, she was having to work a lot more now that her husband had died and all that sort of stuff and support herself. And she was grieving. And so the dog pooped under the dining room table. Well, I explained all of this to her. She let me know later that 3 months later to the day, when she finally stopped grieving and moved out of it, the dog stopped pooping and never did again. So very, very common. And this applies to cats not pooping in the litter box, not covering their poop, and all of that stuff. You look for grief, sadness, disappointment, abandonment stuff. Now, the big issue is generally anger. This can reflect in a lot of ways, but let's take a case of and when it comes to cats, They don't lend themselves to teaching, training, behavior modification as well as dogs do. And so most often I do all the work with the humans, not a lot of work with the cats. And Jason on My Cat from Hell on Animal Planet is certainly covering the bases of working with the cats. He does an excellent, excellent job. So there's some stuff that you can do, but most of the work has to be done with the humans. And if you look at the cases he's working with, the humans' behavior, he even talked about it last night. Because he went to one house to work and it was like a hoarder situation. It was so cluttered. When they cleaned everything up, he walked back in the house. He said, "It feels different here. You can permeate. You can feel a change when the people weren't fighting anymore. It feels different." And he described all of that. It was really, really great. Anyway, it is so important to address the emotional energy and know that with cats, pretty much it's all about dealing with the human and what they're feeling and suppressing. Now, let's say a cat that attacks its owner, and because some cats you pet them and it'll catch you, that often when they do that, that person has self-directed anger. They beat themselves up a lot. So we have to work on self-esteem issues. So that once the human feels better about themselves and isn't beating themselves up, the animal quits beating them up. When the dog barks at the neighbor all the time or aggressively goes after the neighbor and wants to bite them, often the human owner doesn't like the neighbor. And he'd like to yell at the neighbor or bark at the neighbor, but he doesn't. He suppresses that. So the dog does it for him. All right, so there can be all of that kind of behavior when it comes to anger. But the most common form of animals expressing suppressed anger in humans is with inappropriate urination. Now, there's two types of anger. There's two types of urination. There is a squat urination, and that's where the cat squats and empties out its whole bladder, or the dog lifts its leg or squats and empties its whole bladder. Then there's more marking type urination, and that's where the cat backs up and sprays, or the dog lifts his leg and squirts out a little bit, and then goes to another place, lifts his leg, squirts out a little bit, a more of a marking situation. Now the squat or lift the leg and empty the bladder urination relates to a female anger. Once again, I'm talking about female-male energy, not man-woman. So a female anger can come from a man or a woman. A male anger can come from a man or a woman. So it's the squat, empty your bladder, female anger, which is a suppressed, covert, don't get mad, get even type anger, sort of the way women have been conditioned to deal with anger. A marking, a spray or a leg lift mark, urination represents a male anger, which is, I don't like it, I want to fix it, I want to control it, change it, or a jealous or possessive anger, more typical of how men have been conditioned to deal with anger. So, if you have particularly, it's very common, very, very common these days, and remember, because cats are so sensitive, for them not to use their litter box. And if you've looked at the surface reasons why cats don't use the litter box is they aren't big enough, they aren't clean enough, they aren't convenient or safe. If all of that is covered, then it's usually in the root system and has something to do with the human. And remember, they express what we stuff and suppress. So if you're getting squat urination, empty the bladder urination, you know it's a female anger, which is a stuffed, suppressed, covert, don't get mad, get even type of anger. If it's a spray or a marking, then you know it's a male anger. And, I could go over and over lots and lots of cases and examples of animals expressing their human's anger through inappropriate urination. I had one case where we had husband, wife, and like three daughters. And the dog was lifting his leg and peeing all over the man's chair. Well, all of the women in the house were ticked off at the dad. Now, also, you can look at, usually with a lot of the suppressed negative emotional energy stuff, or darker emotional energy stuff, or lower emotional energy stuff, there'll be a pattern. And I couldn't be teaching this stuff, I couldn't have learned it all if I didn't have to learn it all myself. Well, for example, I had cats all of my life, and once I got to be a teenager, my cats pretty consistently started inappropriately urinating. And that went through my teenage years, after I moved out, in my 20s, into my 30s. It wasn't until I discovered the human-to-animal transference that I realized the consistent pattern in my cats and them inappropriately urinating was because I was angry and had been angry for a very long time and was suppressing all that anger. Now, the phrases that we coin, because what you need to understand, and the reason it's important to understand the suppressed emotional energy, is because these emotions, anger, fear, grief, they are energies, and they stay in your body unless you consciously do something to process them out and release them effectively and responsibly. You don't want to stuff and suppress, because then they stay in your body, and it's energy. And certain emotional energies tend to go to certain parts of the body. Like, for example, anger tends to go to the kidneys, to the bladder, to the liver. And the phrases we've coined over the years have not been coined for no good reason. You know, you've heard, how many times have you said, pissed off? Well, it's because there is a correlation here. Anger goes to the bladder. And let me tell you, if you have had urinary tract infections in your life, particularly if they're chronic, I'll tell you right now, you have suppressed anger, and it is affecting the condition of your bladder. Now, I'll be honest with you. I used to have this problem until I figured out the connection. And then once I understood then the tools of how to responsibly acknowledge the fact that I was angry, and then responsibly, without harming myself or others, to release that anger, I didn't have urinary tract infections anymore. And guess what? Neither did my cats, and neither did I have inappropriate urination. Now, every once in a while, like especially like in the years I was taking care of my elderly father with dementia, Alzheimer's type stuff, he threw me out of the house several times a day for a long, and I had to learn how to get along with my dad, not be afraid of all this stuff. Well, it ticked me off. And for a while I forgot to use my tools. And I was mad, and I didn't use my tools. Well, guess what? I got a UTI. Boy, I got my tools out, started using them again. Haven't had one since. Now, every once in a while, now that I've got a house full of cats again, if I have a cat that inappropriately urinates somewhere, unless it's something simple, like I didn't clean out the cat boxes, and even then there's usually a correlation, the first thing I would look at is, how do I feel? What am I angry about? What do I need to process? It is an amazing awakening call. So remember, inappropriate bowel movements, grief, sadness, disappointment, abandonment issues, inappropriate urination, suppressed anger, either male or female, and then where they go can tell you what it's related to. Some cats go in the kitchen on burners, appliances, counters. Well, there's usually anger, human anger, in the kitchen about somebody's resentful about having to cook, or nobody helps with the dishes, or I wish I could pay to go out, but I can't afford it. A lot of cats urinate on dirty laundry around the house. Well, there's usually somebody's mad because somebody isn't picking up their clothes, or they have to do the laundry, da-da-da-da-da-da. There's anger involved in that. Some cats will go in closets, back corners, or basements where it's dark. That's usually a hidden old anger, an anger that's been with you for a very long time. Like I said, the dog that was hiking his leg on dad's easy chair, all the women in the house were mad at the dad. A case where a cat was peeing on the husband's side of the bed. Well, the wife had me convinced until I went to do the session that the husband didn't like cats, and that's why the cat was peeing on his side of the bed. But when I got there, pushed the right buttons, found out that the wife was viciously angry at her husband and had been for a long time, and that's why her cat was going on his side of the bed. So we had to deal with her anger, not his. So now then, fears can come across in the same way. I've had, that great fear story. Older lady, moved up here from California. Once she got up here, her German Shepherd got more and more afraid, and all of a sudden had major abandonment issues and could not be left alone, was trashing the house, huge, huge fear issues. Went, did the session, found out the history. She grew up in California, was married, had a husband. They got this dog in California, in Los Angeles. Everything was wonderful. Dog was fine, never had fear issues. Everything was great. Husband died. kids convinced mom that she was too old to live in L.A. and drive on their freeways and stuff, even though she'd been doing it all her life and did all her things and drove just fine. They convinced her to move to the Great Northwest. They didn't live up here. She was all alone by herself in a neighborhood. She didn't know anybody except the neighbor across the street. And she didn't go anywhere except to the corner grocery store and home, and that was it. She was afraid to go anywhere else. So helped her understand that. And we worked on her getting comfortable working with a neighbor across the street to drive her around, to get her used to, so she could do her volunteer work, could join a bridge group, could do all of that stuff. As soon as she got over her fear, we found we were able to diagnose a thyroid problem with the dog, and medication solved all its fear problems. So that is why I work with the communication. That is why I work with the human-to-animal transference. Now, still, there's a lot of stuff we can do on the surface, and that's the behavior modification and training that we can do with animals on the surface. But the key is getting down into that root system and humans doing their emotional homework. Phew. I think I've covered enough of the bases that we can effectively start wrapping up and end the show today. Now, did all of that make sense to you?
You covered a lot of ground, and to me, it was a lot of really just good common sense. And good common sense makes sense.
Yeah. Now, even though it can be woo-woo stuff, we probably should have played our music in a little outside the square to think of it this way, as the human-to-animal transference, the telepathic empathetic communication. It really is very practical and logical, and that's what I feel my job has been, is to make this stuff practical, logical, dirt simple, so everybody can understand it. So it does make sense. Okay.
Makes sense
all
to
right.
me.
So you guys start working with this stuff. You got 2 weeks to start talking to your animals, start looking to the connections, human to animal transference stuff. The first Sunday of February will behavior training and healing Sunday with Martha. I will do the second part of communicating with animals, and that's how to receive. And then I will entertain your phone calls for behavior training and healing issues and calls and help. And also we'll answer your questions about any of this. You can email me ahead of time at MarthaLight.com or call me at 360-217-7258 and be prepared to call on the first Sunday to let me know what your questions are about how to apply this to you and your animal friends, how to solve any behavior training or healing issues that you've got going on, and we'll pick up with part two of the animal communications. So that covers those bases. Remember, the second Sunday of next month will be Robin and Martha. And remember, if you know Chad, the flaming atheist, thank him for calling Animal World and tell him I'm inviting him to call back for a private one-on-one with me and Robin the second Sunday of February. Love to talk to him and his dad on the other side. And then the third Sunday will be Kevin and Kim Sunday again. And next week, as it will be the last Sunday of every month, as far as I know, at this point, the last Sunday of the month is Shelter, Rescue, Sanctuary, and anything that helps our animal friends Sunday. We will catch up with all of our shelters and rescues. We'll check on Mollywood Avian Sanctuary up in Bellingham and the birds. We'll check in with Sarvey Wildlife Care Center in Arlington, see if their rebuilt eagle flights and all their outdoor habitats survived the snow this year. We'll check on the horses at Allbreed Equine Rescue in Marysville. And we'll talk with somebody else. I just don't know who yet. And be prepared to tune in so you can find out how you can help all of these animals. And let's see, I guess, oh, that's it. We're looking for a call screener. So email me, MarthaLight@AOL.com, or call me at 360-217-7258. Does not need to be every Sunday. And it's either volunteer or we'll trade for advertising. And the most important Sundays would be the first Sunday of the month and possibly the second or the last Sunday, depending. But we're real easy. So that being said, I think we are done. Mike, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
And as always, let me remind you, animals have feelings too, so treat your animal friends better than family. And please always be kind to, open your heart, and share your love with all living things. And I will talk to you again next week.
The preceding hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World was brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.